And thank you for the 15 years recognition. That's a surprise and a blessing. And it was a surprise this week as some leaders got together and we had lunch together here. I came in yesterday evening. I often come in here on Saturdays for one reason or another and saw this display. And I don't think I spoiled any big surprise there, but it gave me a minute to look at some of these pictures. And my biggest takeaway from these 15 years is that when I came here, I had hair. So I don't know what that says, you know, but although I'm sure it says we're all seasoned now and growing and learning more about the grace of God. It's been a joy and a pleasure to serve you guys the last 15 years, to see how God has worked in us and through us to serve this community. And the same for these last 14 weeks. It's been 14 weeks since I sent you an email saying that we would need to suspend activities and services at the First Baptist Church of Shalot and go exclusively to online streaming for our worship services. Wow. Can you believe that? 14 weeks. Some churches have already regathered. Others have not yet. I have a good friend up in the Wadesboro area that is planning not to come back in until mid-July. Churches, believers, pastors have to do what they feel God leading them to do. If we've learned anything in this time, is that we're not in charge, are we? God is in charge. We can trust Him. Even in the worst of times, we know that God is never caught off guard, and He knows exactly what comes next. So we put our trust in Him for all these things. This our first time officially back, and by the way, we want to be flexible. I'm a real believer in that because we're God's church. We're First Baptist Church. Whatever comes next, we plan for this model, two services, precautions, and so forth, to continue for a while. On July 5th, we'll be outside again. So rally up out there, 10 a.m. July 5th. We'll worship again outside, and then if we need to make any adjustments before July 12th, we'll let you know about that. But since this is officially our first time back, I want you to pause with me and thank everyone that has kept things rolling quite literally behind the scenes. I can't possibly name everyone, but it's amazing how God has rallied our people together. And I see the providential care of God in so many ways during this time of distancing and the pandemic. Not only in what He's provided for us, and one example I've used several times is that it was just a few weeks before we had to suspend services and go online that we had installed and started the online streaming in the first place. So God prepared us for that. What I mostly want to say, though, is the staff, the worship teams, the IT, oh my goodness, the folks that serve so faithfully in the Bags of Hope, I want you to thank them. They have done an enormous job in keeping us going and keeping us moving forward and staying focused on ministry. And the thing I love the most about it, and I have to say this especially of our staff, our deacons, our worship teams, IT and everything. I mean, and guys, you all know who you are. I can't possibly say everybody, but not one time have I heard anybody complain. Not one time about the extra work. And believe me, the staff has been, especially has been putting in a lot of extra time, a lot of extra work. Online meetings, late nights, being here in the afternoons. It's been an amazing run. And not one time has anybody said, you know, I just don't like this. I'll be glad when we get back to normal. It's been great. It's been great to serve the Lord. But we're glad to be back in some sense of normalcy, aren't we, as we move forward. So today and the next couple of weeks, including next week, Father's Day, I want us to ask and answer a question. What's God been doing while we've been distancing? What's God been doing while you've been distancing? Has it ever occurred to you that God may have provided this time of distancing intentionally because He had some things that He wanted to do, some things to remind us of, some things to work out in our lives? And we're going to focus on that this morning in the next 2 weeks. And what God's been doing while we've been distancing. Sometimes God needs to take us out of our comfort zone. And the truth is, a lot of times we don't even know that we have settled into a comfort zone. And that's why God has to get our attention. One of the earliest examples is in the book of Acts. The early believers had settled into Jerusalem following Christ, leading Jews to Jesus, and God had to get their attention to help them understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not just for Israel, it was for the whole world. So he pushed them out of Jerusalem through a persecution and pushed them vastly into the world so they would lead everyone to faith in Christ and learn what they needed to learn. God sometimes still practices that. We get into our comfort zone, and sometimes it's going really well. But God says, there's something else I want to teach you and something else you need to learn. And one of the biggest reasons God will take us out of our comfort zone is to learn more about him. A British citizen named Jamie Clark and his teenager Kobe had an experience similar to this. Kobe, being a teenager, was pretty much locked into social media. He liked his cell phone. He liked his Snapchat. He liked his social media. So much so that his dad said and to the news later, you know, parents bear some responsibility. And I'm quoting Jamie Clark. This is his dad. He said, parents bear some responsibility for the addiction our teenagers have to social media in our culture. And he said, it really hit home with me when we took a family vacation, a ski trip, and Kobe could not disconnect from social media long enough to spend time with his family. And then we got into an area, if we got into an area where there was no cell service, all he did was complain because he couldn't be on social media. So Jamie Clark said, I'm going to take my son away from social media, cell service, everything. We're going to get together and get to know each other again. And if anything says distancing, it's a trip to Mongolia. And that's exactly what he did. He took his son Kobe on an on-land trip across Mongolia, nearly 1,400 miles of dad and son bonding. Camels, horseback riding, bicycling, motorcycles to get across nearly 1,400 miles of Mongolia. And Kobe said later, at first it was pretty bad. You know, just me, my dad, and no social media. No cell phone. But then he said later, I wouldn't trade it for anything. By the end of the trip, Kobe said, the best thing about it were those evenings in the tents with my dad, because all we did was talk. And then he said, and I got to know my dad in a way I never would have otherwise. Dad was disconnected from work. Dad was away also from the traditional, from the regular, from the comforts. And he said, I got to see my dad as a different person and got to know him better than I ever have. Sometimes God, your heavenly Father, wants to get you away for a reason. And sometimes to do that, he has to push us out of our comfort zone. We need to get to know him better, he says. And a lot of believers don't realize that our comfort zone is often the way we do church. It's the way we do it. And it seems kind of like a paradox, but the way we do church can actually distract us from our discipleship and our relationship with Christ. And sometimes we substitute the way we do church with living for Christ, and God pushes us out of that comfort zone. If you have your Bible with you, find the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and chapter 8. Deuteronomy and chapter 8, and hold your place there for just a minute. The speech we're about to read is from Moses, and Moses is speaking for God, and he is teaching the people as they prepare to go out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Now, if you know your Bible, your stories very well, you'll remember this, but just to catch you up, the people of God sinned against God, and for that, God imposed on them 40 years, roughly a generation, of wandering in the wilderness. God took them out of their comfort zone, very literally, and they wandered in the wilderness while God provided for them, while Moses taught them, while God's leaders were raised up. God led them through the wilderness. So now it's time for them to come out of the wilderness and into the promised land, and Moses wants to instruct them and prepare them as they get ready to move forward. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we have God's words through Moses to the people of God as they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, through Moses, or this is Moses talking, carefully follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to your ancestors. Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness so that he might humble you and test you to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your ancestors had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Keep in mind that the Lord your God has been disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. So keep the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams, springs, and deep water sources, flowing in both valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, figs, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without shortage, where you will lack nothing, a land whose rocks are iron and from whose hills you will mine copper. When you eat and are full, you will bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. We tend to follow a pattern, and it goes something like this. We come to Christ, and we are striving to be obedient to the Lord. Then we get comfortable. We don't really always recognize it right away, but obedience over time gives way to comfort. And the more comfortable we become, the less likely we are to be radically obedient. That is, God calls us out to something new. God says, here's a fresh ministry, a fresh opportunity, someone who's lost that needs Christ. We become comfortable, and in our comfort, we think, well, we're doing enough for the Lord. So what happens then is obedience goes to comfort, and comfort becomes complacency. And complacency means that we're no longer very introspective. We're no longer very concerned about growing in Christ or about being obedient, moving forward. We're complacent. We just get to where we don't care that much. And the truth is, we may not even realize it, but that's where we are. We've gone from obedience to comfort to complacency. And after complacency, or maybe beside it, is disobedience. Once we become complacent, we start saying, no, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm comfortable. Let somebody else do that. That's what we have a pastor for. That's why we have deacons. That's why we have Sunday school teachers. God, I'm not going to do that. Let somebody else go. Let somebody else do. Let someone else meet, reach, love. And we become disobedient. You know what follows disobedience? Discipline. And like a loving heavenly father, here, the book of Hebrews, other places, the Bible teaches, like our loving heavenly father, our God imposes discipline. And sometimes I believe discipline is distancing, getting us alone so God can do a work in the wilderness that he can't do where we're comfortable, at least not the way he wants to do it. Did God cause the pandemic? Well, we have a pandemic because we live in a fallen world. God can bring whatever means he chooses to wake us up and get us rolling, if that's what he wants to do. There's no question in my mind that God has used this time of distancing to teach us something, to show us something, and he wants us to wake up and pay attention. In the passage we just read, Moses teaching the people shows us what God's doing while we're distancing. He shows us what the reasons for the wilderness, and he explains it to his people. It starts in verse 2, however, because verse 2 is the pivotal verse of the passage. And Moses says, remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness so that he might. Now we'll pause right there. Because it starts off, remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness. That tells us something. Let's break it down. The term translated remember doesn't mean when you think, bring it to mind in your memory. The term actually means when you talk about it, be sure to include this. Remember for the sake of others. When you talk about it, be sure to include this. Include what? That the Lord your God led you on this journey for 40 years. So people of God, when you sit back and think, wow, that was just some kind of weird accident, I sure am glad we can get back to normal. Remember, God is the one that did this. God led you into the wilderness. That tells us God's supreme sovereignty. He was still in charge. He was the one that said, you need some time in the wilderness. We're going to do a little distancing. It also means that he never left you while you were in the wilderness. He was always there. The great promise of the Bible, starting with Adam and Eve, is that God never leaves you and never forsakes you. Those he loves, he never leaves. He gave Adam and Eve a concrete example of this. He dressed them before they left the Garden of Eden. Before he evicted them, he put clothes on them so they would never forget his love for them. And then he promised from that point forward, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. So while we're distancing, God reminds us, he said, whenever you talk about this, I want you to talk about it and remember two things, bring to mind for other people. Two things. First of all, God was leading you into your distancing for a reason. But God never left you in your distancing. Never left you. He never forsakes us and never leaves us. Why did he do it? Three reasons for the wilderness. Three reasons for the wilderness. So that he might. Moses says there's three things God was doing while you were distancing in the wilderness. In the wilderness, first, God humbles us. God humbles us. So that he might humble you. The people of God had become prideful. They become prideful because they were the people of God. And they figured, well, what could go wrong? You know, we're God loves us. God favors us. We're his people. Everything's going to go great, right? And we like how we do things. And we take care of ourselves. And since we're taking care of ourselves and everything's going well, that must mean we're in good graces with God. We're in good shape. They become prideful. And that's hard for us to look at because if God wants to humble us, it means that we become a bit prideful also. We become prideful when we start to depend on external things more than we depend on God. One of the most prideful things that we can ever say is the three words, I can afford that. You ever thought about that? I can afford that. God, I don't need your help. Because it translates into, I can do this on my own. Whether it's God's provision, God's leadership, God working in our family, working in our marriage, whatever it is, we say, God, I can do this. I can do this on my own. How does God humble us? Well, he goes ahead and tells us. In verse 3, he's very specific about he humbles us, and this is something to pay a lot of attention to. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your ancestors had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. How did he humble you? Moses says he did it by letting you be hungry so he could provide for you, so he could remind you that you're not the one taking care of yourself. God, your Father, takes care of you, whether in the comfort zone or in the wilderness. Whether you're right at home or distancing, God the Father is taking care of you. And he let you go hungry so that he could supernaturally take care of you. This is what he tells the Israelites. You've heard about manna. Did you know the term manna in the Old Testament? Manna literally means, what's that? They didn't know what that food was. They just knew it showed up. And they had just as much as they needed. They never gave it a name. I believe to this day that's where Pop-Tarts came from, but I don't know. But God said, I want there to be no mistake that I have supernaturally provided for you because you have gotten into the habit of thinking you're providing for yourself. Then notice what God does, and this is the connection throughout the Bible between manna and God's nourishment. He immediately transfers it to his spiritual nourishment because every word of God is nourishment for your soul. God connects manna that comes from him to the word of God that comes from him. You need manna to live physically. You need the word of God to live spiritually. Jesus himself even quotes this verse to Satan in the wilderness. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word issued from God himself. We need God's nourishment. We need the word of God. if when you started distancing, you were so attached to the church and so attached to my teaching, to Pastor Mike, to the deacons, the Sunday school, that once you started distancing, you didn't know how to feed yourself on the Word of God. You didn't know how to get with God, and you were hungry. That's an indication God was humbling you. Yeah. That's an indication God was humbling you and humbling me and humbling anyone who suddenly realized, I don't have the nourishment I usually do because I've been depending on other people, or worse, on other things to nourish me. I've been telling God I can take care of myself. Things fill my life. Stuff fills my life. Activities fill my life. Recreation fills my life. God says, no. I'm going to get you off by yourself and make you hungry so you will understand that I and I alone provide you life and can provide the Word of God. And you need personally to connect with me, God says, in my Word for you to be nourished. The good teaching at church, you still need that. Stay online virtually, you still need that. But if you're by yourself and you're hungry, it's a sign that you need some humility. It's time to get with God and be personally nourished rather than depend on other people or other things to take its place. Second, so that he might. The reason for the wilderness, number two, is that he might test us. He might test us to show us and to know, Moses says, what is in our hearts. Now, God already knows what's in our hearts. What he means is, for us all to know, for you to know what's in your heart. And let's pause here just a minute to understand the difference between testing and tempting. See, the Bible says in the book of James, God never tempts you, but God does test you. Satan is the one that tempts you to sin. Look at it this way. Satan tempts you to bring out the worst in you. That's what a temptation is. His effort is to bring out the very worst in your old nature to get you to sin. God tests you to reveal the best in you and the potential for what Christ can do in you. God tests you to reveal what he wants to show so he can forgive, so he can grow, so he can change, so he can do a work in your life. But it's always to grow you to be more like Jesus Christ. Moses said to the people, just as God says to us, sometimes I've got to get you alone and test your heart just a little bit. What does he mean by that? When you're distancing, when you're by yourself, when you're in solitude, when you have no one watching, your character really shows up. That's when your character really shows up. When you're at the computer all by yourself, when you have to choose what you're going to read, who you're going to call, who you're going to talk to, that's when your character, your heart, really shows. God gets us a way to reveal, expose the heart. Does he do that just to say, ha, look at you, what a sinner you are? No, he does that to grow you in Christ, to show it to you so you can say, if needed, God, forgive me. I didn't realize how I behaved. I didn't realize how much I wanted other people to see me be religious. God, forgive me for turning that on television, for watching that on the computer. Here I am by myself. I can make better choices. God, forgive me. Distancing tests the heart. When you're in solitude, you're by yourself. That's who you really are. God knows that. God knows that. Satan also knows that. So sometimes he'll come and he'll try to tempt you to other things. But God reveals who you are so he can grow you in Christ. Then third, another reason for the wilderness is to prepare us. To prepare us. Prepare us for what? To prepare us to move forward. That's what Moses' whole conversation is about. Moving forward into the promised land. Moving forward into the promised land. So for God to move us forward, he had to take us out for a little while, humble us, test our hearts. And then he says he's doing this so he will know and he will show us if we will keep his commands. Now notice, not if we kept his commands in the past, but if we will keep his commands moving forward. The term translated commands means instructions. God wants to show us and wants us to know that what matters most is that we are obedient to Him. Remember, He's getting us back to obedience. We've gone from obedience to comfort, complacency, disobedience, discipline to get us back to obedience. So God says, I want to know and I want to show you that what matters most is obedience to my word. The term translated commands and commandments is instruction. It's how to live. It's what God tells us to do and what God wants us to do. And we live in a culture right now, we see it all around us all the time, where people are rebelling against authority, pushing against authority, crying out against authority. In our old sinner self, we push against authority. But when we come to Christ, we submit to His authority. And we say, God, now I understand. In order for me to live a healthy life, in order for me to serve God, in order for us to be the church that Jesus wants us to be going forward into the future, our purpose is to be faithful to God. It is to follow His commands. And coming out of distancing should reveal in us, are we really ready to recommit to the instructions, the commands, the faithfulness that's needed to follow Christ into the future. I believe God has a great future for First Baptist Church. And I believe just along with that, and a great future for each of us as followers of Christ, but I believe right along with that, God used the distancing to show us we got to get ready before He's going to move us forward. If God asks you that question this morning, would you follow my commands? Follow my instructions? Are you ready now to be faithful to Christ and whatever He says? Are you back to obedience? What would you say? Maya Dorado was the swimmer that won gold medals in 2016. Of course, we had several swimmers in 2016 that won gold medals, but Dorado was particularly focused on as a teenager. She's a perky personality and a believer in Christ. So she got a lot of interviews after that and talked about her faith a lot. And in one interview, Maya was asked what her goals were in life and if she met her goals being a swimmer. And the interviewer then went on and said something like, you know, I'm sure you have fulfilled your purpose in swimming, and how do you feel about that? And she interrupted him. She paused and she said, well, swimming's not my purpose. Now, I fulfilled some goals in swimming, and some of the gold medals were some of my goals, but my purpose, this is what she said, my purpose is to be faithful to God and to please God no matter what. And then she went on to say, to be honest, I don't really think that God cares that much about my swimming. But, she said, He does care that I'm faithful to Him when I swim. Wow. Are you ready? Folks, are you ready? Maybe like never before to say, yes, God, I will be faithful to you. I'll be faithful to you. God, forgive me for letting all the clutter get in the way. Forgive me for forgetting you're the one that provides for me. But God, I am ready. I am ready to be obedient to you and follow Christ into the future. I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to pray two prayers this morning. The first one is for those of you who are believers, followers of Christ, and you know it, and you want to say this morning, yes, I want to rededicate my life to my commitment to Christ. I want it to be fresh. I am ready to follow Him into the future. Then the second prayer is for any of you who may have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm going to pray with you to trust Christ as your Savior this morning. I'll go ahead and tell you what I'm going to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, and you're alive today. So Jesus, come into my heart and into my life, and give me a home in heaven. I'm going to pray that prayer as well. So if you're here this morning, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, this is not a day about rededicating and recommitment. This is a day about starting over, coming out of your distancing to start following Christ for the very first time. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we pause in this moment, God, first of all, we're so glad that you never leave us or forsake us. You're always with us in all that we go through and all that we do. Thank you, God, for being with us in the wilderness. Thank you for being with us in the solitude. Thank you for being with us in these confusing and even chaotic times. Thank you, Father, that we know you've never given up on us and never left us. And with that, God, I thank you for taking us out of our comfort zone, taking us out into the wilderness for a while, that, God, you could do a work in us. Maybe we needed to be humbled. We certainly needed to be tested to show our true character. So, God, the question and the commitment we want to make this morning is, are we prepared to move forward? Are we prepared to go forward? Father, for each believer in here who would pray this prayer with me, I pray this morning, God, that we would say yes. We're ready, God, to move forward. We're ready to be obedient again, for a fresh start with you. God, forgive us for thinking our provision came from anywhere else. God, forgive us for not showing the character of Christ while we've been distancing. God, forgive us for that. And Father, I pray that you would reshape our hearts and give us that fresh commitment, God, that we would follow your commands and your instructions as we move forward. And Father, if there's just one in here that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, I want to pray this prayer with them this morning, Father. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I can't save myself. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me and that you're alive today. Jesus, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin, and I repent of my sin and commit to Christ and give me a home in heaven. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Father, for all of us, I pray, God, that our desire moving forward and whatever we do would be to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Make us more like Christ every day, God. And it's in his precious name we pray.